If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome to The New Chemist. We're glad you're listening. Feel free to download this podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Here on The New Chemist, we discuss chemistry, which simply put is the science of change, as well as careers, community, research, and COVID-19. We're happy you're tuning in. My guest today is Dr. Cordell Hardy, a senior vice president at 3M in charge of corporate R&D operations. He serves in a variety of roles as a technical director, a global R&D manager, a technical manager, and a variety of other roles. He currently serves on a number of boards. He did his PhD in chemical engineering at University of Minnesota Twin Cities. And he completed his Bachelor's of Science in Chemical Engineering at Florida A&M University. He is a determined, experienced leader, and it's good to have him on as a guest today. Please welcome Dr. Cordell. Okay, Dr. Hardy, thanks for joining me today. What have been your longstanding interests in the field of science and engineering?
Sure. Well, David, thanks. I'll certainly answer. And I just want to say thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be with you today. I've been in the technical field for my entire career. I did an undergrad and graduate degree in chemical engineering. And I went into chemical engineering in part just because I had a natural interest and aptitude for chemistry and math. And I thought, the chemical engineering degree would be a nice opportunity to study both of those. I had a scholarship, so that had a big impact on my decision to go to my undergrad institution, Florida A&M, as well as to major in chemical engineering. And I think even earlier than that, one of the big factors for me was just my upbringing. My mother made it a point when I was young to limit my television intake quite a bit.
Okay.
Which I didn't appreciate at the time, but I came to appreciate later. And instead, I had lots to do with problem solving. I had, the wooden building blocks, and she had me playing chess at an early age. I still like to play on my cell phone now. And so just, trying to expose me to creative problem solving opportunities deliberately. And she had that sort of environment in the house. And I think that sort of instilled in me from a very early age, reading, problem solving, working through things intellectually. And then later on, that turned into an interest in applying that in the sciences.
Okay. So you mentioned how from a child you were kind of, discipline was instilled, I would say. Discipline?
Yeah. And discipline has this connotation of restraint from something, and there was some aspect of that, but I think more than that, it was just opportunity, connection, and helping me to see. So, for example, just by analogy, there have been times when we've been on a road trip, and my kids who have cell phones are staring. We're driving past some beautiful mountain scenery, and the kids are like staring at a text or something like that on phone, and we try to say, hey, look up a bit, and it was that with my mom and our upbringing. Neither of my parents has a technical background, but my sister and I both did doctoral degrees in engineering. My sister, was the first African American female in mechanical engineering to get a PhD at MIT. It clearly there was something along, with how we were raised that connected into things that we did when we were older.
Well, that's good. That's good, man. That's good. Yeah. So I have a question. As a senior vice president at 3M, How do you maintain view of the bigger picture in your career and in your life in general?
Just so I'm understand, just so I make sure I heard, how do I maintain a perspective?
Yeah, perspective. Perspective. How do you maintain that?
Yeah, well, certainly, David, our values and faith play into that some, and just having a broader perspective of life and self-existence, and why to have this time on the earth and what it means. Beyond that, just some of the grounding things around family and the pursuits outside of work, and actually having the chance to make a significant impact in the quality of life in family, community, society. Mm-hmm. It helps to take the me and the self-interest out of some of the pursuits. I mean, that's still there. I mean, you still want to be successful and you want to be recognized and affirmed. And it's nice to have some latitude as far as means to do things, but mm-hmm. the reality that we have a rather limited window on the planet to act mm-hmm. helps to try to make it so that your priorities and your focus really should be beyond just you, right? Just me. What's the impact and the benefit to other people, and how am I making the most of the capabilities and the gifts that I have to mm-hmm. contribute, where there are gaps or disparities where there's suffering, if I can help to fix that, I find that, or to influence it, I find that to be gratifying. And so having that sort of enduring, transcendent sense of purpose mm-hmm. helps to keep perspective in the day-to-day. There are always going to be mundane, boring, or even downright unattractive or less than gratifying tasks to engage in, mm-hmm. but those are the price of admission to being skilled and relevant and insightful and mm-hmm. capable to wield impact. So that's kind of how I think about it.
That's good. Yeah, it's good to have a higher framework, a higher point of reference when you have to address certain issues. And I would say, yeah, I do agree, we do have a limited time. So I think it was Dr. MLK who said, Martin Luther King who said, life's most urgent question is, what are you doing for others?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, I think that's very important. So yeah. Within the realm of science and engineering, how have you been adaptive and creative? I know for a period of time you had your own lab, right? If I'm remembering correctly, you had your own lab at 3M.
So the way you mean that is that I managed a laboratory, and that's true. I was a lab head for one of the businesses at 3M. The way I would frame that is I was a lab leader for one of the businesses at 3M. It's not my lab, it's a team. Everything happens through the context of a team.
That's true.
It gets back to my previous question. It's not about me. And thinking of it that way in a sort of deep, profound way takes some of the articulated prestige out, but it actually allows me to represent what I do in the most effective way. I'm a servant, right? I was appointed into a leadership role so that the influence that I can wield is beneficial to our customers, to our teams, to our shareholders, and then if I do those things successfully, then also to me, right?
Okay.
It's a great opportunity to serve in a leadership capacity. I really have enjoyed that opportunity. Even now, although I'm managing an organization that's not in a business per se. In fact, I'm the only U.S. headcount in our organization, and our team is very international and global. The aspect of still being a servant and a servant leader is still front and center and will be my entire career.
That's fair. So in terms of ideas that you worked on, what nuanced ideas or interesting ideas did you work on as a lab head at 3M?
Oh, sure. So we over the years I've had a chance to to be involved in a good number of interesting programs. In my first supervisory role, I was in our consumer business, and so there the product lines were actually more mature. I was in the part of the company that sells post-it notes and consumer adhesives. Mm-hmm. And the reason I would start there is that was the first time I had a chance to lead a commercialization program from the very inception and making a proposal and a pitch all the way through to commercialization and working on the process development in the manufacturing plant, as well as talking with marketers about the claim. So that sort of cross-functional, comprehensive commercialization experience was formative for me in our consumer. Mm-hmm. But then moving on to other parts of the company, in our industrial business and in our personal safety and transportation electronics business, I've had a chance to touch a fairly broad range of personal protective equipment. Mm-hmm. And the science that goes into helping people to stay safe. If you think about, for example, a respirator, with the pandemic last year, mm-hmm. 3M was sort of front and center in the early stage. No vaccines. How do we keep our frontline workers safe? The hospitals are filling up. And there was a shortage of availability of respirators. Right. And so 3M increased its capacity for manufacturing disposable respirators by nearly, I think, 300% in just an amazing increase. The science involved in doing that, in part, was developed through research that was done in the team that I was managing at the time. In part, a lot of people involved, right? So I want to be careful to not overstate that there are a lot of people involved in this significant accomplishment. But certainly our team had a very important touch. Those disposable respirators are electret filters, which means that they come with an embedded electrostatic charge that attracts particles such as virus-containing droplets and allows them to be very effective in filtering and helping to keep people safe. And so that would be just one example where, if you think about the number of respirators that are produced, the number of lives impacted, potentially the number of lives directly saved through reducing infection, spread of infection, very gratifying to be, even in a small part involved with some of that work. In the role where I was just a leader, we had a chance to work on a range of commercial solutions. So these are products that a business would buy to provide their operations support. So it could be in branding or in cleaning and maintenance. And again, thinking about pandemic theme, one of the neat advances was a water-activated wipe. If you think about the market for pesticidal and disinfecting or sanitizing wipes, we were successful in commercializing and introducing a wipe that picks up microbes and mm-hmm. Reduces the transfer of microbes as people are cleaning. So you end up transferring microbes less from one place to another and creating the risk for transferred infection. Wow. So that was a product that came through our business. And so, I mean, there have been lots of neat opportunities. One other interesting one, which is not materials based, which I had a chance to see in my previous role, was a visual attention system. And so if you can actually go and try this out for free, as I understand, I think it's 3m.vas.com. And so 3m.vas.com, you can go to this website and you can upload an image. And from first principles, our neuroscientist and artificial intelligence expert created an algorithm that predicts where your eyes are going to look as you look at an image, and then gives a heat map on top of the image. So that's cool from one perspective, but it's useful for brand owners. If you're thinking about an ad or you have a storefront and you want to make sure it's designed properly, you can actually simulate your image and then simulate where people are going to look, and then redesign your ad or your image so that it communicates the message most effectively. So pretty interesting science ongoing at 3M. And there's you know, a long list. We make thousands and thousands of products, and over time in a career, as a manager in a group, you get a chance to touch quite a few.
That's cool. So you mentioned how you had 300% efficiency, or you were able to improve the productivity of the company to 300% for that particular.
The respirator production rate. Yeah. So the capacity for production was increased significantly during the pandemic for respirators. And that was all stuff that was communicated publicly to the investing community. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a question. What do you think contributes to that increase in efficiency? Why not just 100%? Why? What principle could you extrapolate from that someone could use to apply to their own personal?
Sure. David, it's a great question. You know, 3M maintains significant trade secrets in this part of the business, and that's why, you know, we've been one of the reasons why we've been so successful. And
that's fair.
But what I can say is that there is some world-class polymer science and process engineering that gets involved in the production of respirators that are as cost-effective and high-performing as 3M's. And so, we understand better than anyone else, I believe, how to adjust those levers, whether material or process, to try to drive productivity up. There was also, you know, outright some capital allocation and great partnerships with governments all around the world to help in streamlining the deployment of capital to help enhance our production capacity in our plants as well.
That's good. So my question to you is, what do you think complements creativity at 3M? Would you say, What's the driving factor? Would you say it's people just like being having a good imagination, or would you say
that's
strategic? What's complementing the creativity at 3M?
Wonderful question. And if you ask, even at 3M, if you ask a number of people, you might get a range of answers. So I'll share my perspective here. And some of this is more on the absolute customer centricity. So, some people would say customer empathy. We're different than a purely academic, organization, in that we have we're for profit. So, like, the science that we're working on, the technologies we're developing, do need to have sort of an economically productive end use and purpose. You get there by having a good understanding of your customer and their needs, not just today, but where they're headed, where the market is headed, where your competitors are headed, and having a good view of where the intersection of our capabilities and our strategic roadmap intersects with those needs are. And then that's just one thing. So, maybe you can put that in the basket of insight. Another is in unparalleled technical breadth for 3M. We have what we call technology platforms, which means we have world leading capability and expertise in a range of technical capabilities and technologies that are just not available at other companies. So there might be a company that knows a lot about adhesives, but there's no other company I'm aware of that has deep expertise in adhesives, abrasives, light management, and multi-layer optical film, the processing and science for nonwovens with electronics and software systems, and the list goes on. We have 51 of those technology platforms that we actually represent similarly to a periodic table. And so part of our magic, our value proposition and innovation model involves being able to take those technology platforms and to combine them into unique and differentiated products that no one else can make because they don't have the depth of science capability in all of these different areas. Wow. So the technology basis and foundation for 3M would be another. And then I would add a collaborative culture. So 3M is not a holding company or conglomerate that's comprised of separate businesses that are just tied together through their financial relationship. We have a formally boundaryless technology culture and structure where our technical community is incentivized and expected to collaborate beyond just their scope. So I can call up, or as a researcher in the laboratory when I was an engineer, I could call up anybody around the company and ask for their consult or their support or guidance on solving, you know, problems relative to me. Of course, you have to be mindful of using people's time effectively, but as people advance in their careers here, part of how they're judged is how active they've been in the broader technical community of 3M. We resource that through what's called our technical forum. And it's a formal part of the company. It's grassroots organized. And, you know, they structure in the chapters that focus on the areas of emphasis that are relative to the technical interests and problems that people need to solve. We build that deeply into the way that the company runs. So this collaborative culture, and I should also add one important thing. With that comes funding. So if you have an idea and you need money for it, you can write it up and get it funded. You do have to compete for those funds, but there's an active mechanism to do that. And it goes outside of your formal priorities and business unit. You can actually get that money and then use it sort of in your 15% time to explore things that you believe are going to be important, but might not be established as priorities in your business. So those are, you know, three key ways that I think 3M has sort of fostered creativity over the years: the collaborative culture, the technology platforms, and really trying to drive an insight for our customers.
Wow, that's good. So basically, you've quantified your creativity to an economic sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, the what you're hitting at there is how we account for that. And so those are what I just mentioned are maybe tactics or principles. Yeah.
So along the same line of tactics and principles, so what would you say for your personal career has been a guiding strategy or theme for you that's complemented your success thus far? What in the strategy that you've used? But I'm sure you've not been arbitrary. So
No. Yeah, that's a good question. So some principles that I value and have valued: diversity in every sense. So that includes the obvious meanings. Thinking about gender and background, geographic origin. So trying to push for, even as an individual contributor, seeking out those environments where the idea exchange includes diversity, because I do believe that creativity is best when the perspectives are diverse. So they're in technical acumen. So I am a scientist by training, and I should approach my thinking and my work, my communication in a technically sound way.
Yep.
And so there's a certain level of diligence and preparation that's associated with that. Even if you can't do it all the time exactly, like, there's a formalism to thinking and structured thought in the scientific process that needs to be embedded.
Yep.
As you move into management, I'd also add that, you know, in calculus, you're learning y equals f of x, or, you know, the relationships between integrals and derivatives and so forth. But it's deterministic, determined relationships. As a manager, life is not so simple. So probabilistic thinking, what's likely to happen given the inputs, that, you know, people are not deterministic. So the political implications you have to also account for in relationships and emotions and all of that. So yes, science, but science plus is probably a good way to think about it. And then I'm a technical leader. So leadership is critical. The leadership part means the selflessness and leading with empathy. I would even say, you know, in a sense, like, there's this love piece to your customers, your direct reports. Like, you really care about the people you serve, and that comes with a certain honesty and integrity around your business dealings and practice. Your heart's in the right place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So diversity, science, and personal growth, leadership aspect are things that have really been areas of focus. And then those are, like, sort of guardrails or guidelines, principles to think and live by. I'd also add, though, you know, the financial acumen piece. So whether you're in, you know, I could talk about that part for a half hour, but prioritizing your work and your activities so that in a sort of net present value sense, your priorities are value accretive to your organization. If you're going to prioritize a project inclusive of the costs and the time, that you're not diluting the value of your company. And so you gain experience and intuition around pointing yourself and then your teams towards things that are going to be valuable. Mm-hmm. And then the company has an economic incentive to pour investment your way because you create value, right? And so as you do that in increasing measure, then there tends to be, you know, some of the recognition and advance and opportunity to grow and have different experiences and so forth.
Oh, that's good. That's great. Yeah. So how do you seek or find the right environment for you to thrive scientifically and intellectually? What allowed you to find 3M in the first place? How did you find 3M?
Yeah, that's a fair question. To be honest, though, 3M found me. I mentioned I was very fortunate to have a scholarship for undergrad. That scholarship happened to be funded by 3M company.
Okay, so I have a question. Were you a GEM fellow?
I was not a GEM fellow. I was an NSF fellow and a 3M fellow. So National Science Foundation had funded my graduate degree, okay. And then 3M also provided some funding for the research as well. Okay. But the undergraduate was a scholarship through 3M, where they actually funded outright the tuition and even some internships.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So given your responsibilities and accomplishments, how do you maintain a balanced life?
Great question. I try. So, I am married to a wonderful wife of 18 years and have four kids, oldest 16, youngest is four. And so we're busy. One of the things, and people have asked me this, over the years at different times, you know, one of the ideas that we've embraced is, you know, the same kind of thinking at work. Mm-hmm. You know, you try to deploy that at home as far as cost benefit analysis and time value of money. If I'm spending all of my time doing chores, but I value the relationship and quality time with kids, then, you know, my priorities are out of sync. So what I'm saying is, if we're going to work this hard and long at the job, then we probably need to do things at home to streamline or automate whatever tasks we can. And so that's been, you know, part of what we've tried to do.
That's good. Yes. Do you have any advice for those wanting to pursue the field you're currently working in? Management in terms of chemical engineering.
Sure. Okay. Sure. So since I've had a career to this point already, I'll answer from the vantage point of not going into engineering or graduate school or something like that. Sure. This is a presumption that you've already gone there and you're thinking about, you know, where to take your career. Mm-hmm. For the earlier stage, get trained well, right? Focus on relationships and your training, get good grades, take also, care of yourself, be healthy, all that stuff.
So there are other episodes, if you need to listen to something, some guides and guides at school, other episodes in this podcast series. So
awesome. Listen to David's podcast. Awesome. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. And then as you're thinking about, you're an early stage, technical leader or professional individual contributor, and, you know, thinking about where to go, the industry, you know, the market that you're poised to serve for the near term, is it attractive? Just as companies segment and strategize around prioritizing their projects, so can you, right? Are you working in the right area? All right. And so if the answer is yes, are you doing what you want in that area? Are you leading effectively? Sometimes people say, well, I'd like to be a manager. All right. Well, examine your motives. Why do you want to do that? Is it so that you can feel the sense of having power and authority to direct people to do stuff or to be recognized as being important and successful. I'm not saying those things are wrong, but they're not great motives from the vantage point of drawing out the best in yourself and the teams that you would lead. People can see your motives and how you behave.
Oh yeah.
So instead, I would kind of coach around leading for impact and maximizing your scale and your footprint in the favorable way for your end users, your stakeholders, your shareholders, employer. And while you're doing that, then you'll tend, if you're being productive, you'll tend to attract sponsorship. And that sponsorship discussion, people who are in senior leadership roles in your organization, again, assuming that you're in an enterprise, not in some startup setting, they know more about the company's outlook. They know more about the open positions. They know kind of how you work and where you might be most successful, and they can help you to get there. Mm-hmm. So that's different than trying to chart your own course. It's really around a proactive submission and transparency to your leaders around your interests. And that will carry you a long way.
I agree. Mentorship and guidance plays a significant role, especially when you're transparent. So yeah, I agree with that. So overall, I would say this has been a very good discussion. Dr. Hardy, thanks again for joining me today. It has been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. We're glad you were able to tune into this podcast. Once again, this is The New Chemist, where we discuss chemistry, which simply put is the science of change, as well as the other sciences, careers, community, research, and COVID-19. Thanks again for listening. Note, the views on this podcast represent those of my guests and I.